listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska, K201DA in King Cove, Alaska. Did you ever love
a woman with a death wish? Weather Vanes, the 2023 album from Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, is a collection of powerful songs about everyday people. And a lot of that power comes from Jason's eye for the details that make a story really come alive.
I think a lot of songwriters think they have to conjure some kind of magic, but really all you have to do is look out the window and pay attention.
Jason has a brand new solo album out this week. To celebrate, we're looking back at our most recent interview with him from 2 years ago when Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit performed songs from Weather Vanes live. And Jason talked about his songwriting process, how he writes about polarizing issues in a way that helps people find empathy, and what it was like acting in Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. Plus, a whole lot more. Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit today. I'm Raina Duris, and this is an Encore World Cafe. Thank you so much for supporting public radio. Here is an artist who is also a public radio fan. She recently sold her Tesla and donated the proceeds to NPR. So thanks, Sheryl Crow. This is Sheryl Crow. There goes the neighborhood on the cafe.
Drag queens and the freaks are all out on the town.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Jason Isbell has a new solo album coming out this week called Foxes in the Snow. To celebrate, we're revisiting our last session with Jason, where he joined me to talk about his 2023 album with his band, The 400 Unit. Enjoy. Jason Isbell is a searcher. He's the kind of songwriter who always seems to be watching, observing, trying to figure people out, and through that, trying to figure out himself. His new album with his band, The 400 Unit, is a masterclass in character study and storytelling, full of songs that could only be written by someone who is paying very close attention and who has a lot of heart. Today, Jason joins me to discuss that album called Weather Vanes, as well as the recent HBO documentary about his life and career, Jason Isbell, Running With Our Eyes Closed, which covers some of the challenges he faced making his last album, Reunions. He also talks about his gig acting in a new Martin Scorsese film and how it inspired one of the songs on the album. You'll hear that song performed live and a few others too in a set recorded at The Hall in Little Rock, Arkansas. Our conversation is coming up in just a moment, but first, one of those live tracks. It's Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit with Death Wish on World Cafe.
Did you ever love a woman with a death wish? Something in her eyes like flipping off a light switch. Everybody dies, but you gotta find a reason to carry on. Did you ever catch her climbing on the roof? Higher than a kite, dead winter in a tank top. I don't wanna fight with you, baby, but I won't leave you alone. The night was young once, we were the wild ones, before we had to pay attention to the violence. Anything could happen, but nothing ever really did. Takes a whole lot of medicine to feel like a little kid. Oh, and did you ever love a woman with a death wish? Something in her eyes like flipping off a light switch. Everybody dies, but you gotta find a reason to carry on. Did you ever catch a climbing on the rooftop higher than a kite? Dead winter in a tank.
From their new album, Weather Vanes, that was Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit performing Death Wish live for the World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris, and Jason Isbell is my guest today. Jason, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Rena. I'm very happy to be on the show and always glad to talk to you.
I love having you on. And that song, Death Wish, it starts the album. It was the first single. The line, "It takes a whole lot of medicine to feel like a little kid," hit me right away the first time I heard that song. Gave me chills, and I was wondering if you could talk about writing that lyric.
Yeah, there's definitely a little nod to Randy Newman in there, because there's a line where he says, "And guilty," he says, "it takes a whole lot of medicine to pretend I'm somebody else." So I'm referring to Randy there, who I love. I love Randy's songs. You know, I think most people, if you write songs for long enough, you're going to wind up becoming kind of obsessed with Randy Newman. But that verse in particular deals with the way things have changed, the way your life changes, you know, and you didn't necessarily plan on that. And you still have to figure out how to be an adult, you know, and that's tough. That song is in a lot of ways about not running away from things that are hard.
The way you start the album with that song, it's just your voice. That's the very first thing we hear on the record. And I mean, starting with just your voice is sort of perfect, because you wrote the songs yourself, you edited the songs yourself, and you self-produced the album, which is a little unusual for you. I would love to talk about production first. Your last album, Reunions, was produced by Dave Cobb. Why did you decide to self-produce this time around?
I thought finally I may have gotten to the point where I could do it and enjoy it and not screw it up. And that was really it, you know. I loved working with Dave. We're good friends and we had a great time, and we may work together again in the future. But before I started working with Dave, I would at least co-produce everything that I was on, you know, my records and Trucker's records and all that stuff. And then when I got sober, it was part of me like turning over. It was a lot, you know, getting sober and going out and playing shows and writing Southeastern. That was a lot to deal with. And I needed to get some of that off of my plate and say, all right, I'm not going to try to control every little detail of my work. And, you know, I needed to trust somebody with it. And Dave was the perfect person for that, because I've been doing that for 10 years and I've been working so hard, and I felt so much pressure on Reunions, you know, to prove that I still had it, whatever the hell it is, you know. And I felt like this time around I wanted to go in just telling stories and making cool sounds and not worrying about, you know, do I belong in a studio or am I qualified to produce?
Why do you think this was the right time for that for you?
You know, it may have been the right time earlier, but this was just the first time that I felt comfortable attempting it, you know. And we had such a hard time making Reunions. It was difficult. As you can see, if you watch the documentary, you know, it wasn't the easiest process for me. And I needed things to happen in a different way, because I am bound and determined to enjoy my job, because it's just a really good job, you know.
I'm speaking with Jason Isbell on World Cafe today. In the HBO documentary about you that came out in the spring called Running With Our Eyes Closed, we also hear that you bring the songs into the studio to the band basically the day of recording, so they don't get to take them home and practice them. And that seems to me almost at odds with your own kind of perfectionism when it comes to the songwriting itself. Could you shed a little bit of light on your thinking around that process?
The musicians in the band are very good, and they have played with me for a long time, and they're familiar with how I work and how my songs operate. And I like to catch them off guard, you know. I like to hear a really good musician playing something they don't really know very well yet, or playing an instrument that's not, you know, that's hard to keep in tune. That's just something that appeals to me, because otherwise you'll naturally make things sort of slick and polished, you know. And there's this moment between creating a song and performing it that, to me, I think is almost always the moment that you want to capture in the studio. And for me to do that, I can't give them a lot of lead time. You know, I can't send them a demo or anything, or we'll go into the studio and they'll know the song. And then if you change something or somebody falls in love with a part that's not perfect, then you have two things that you have to do. Rather than find the perfect part, you have to unlearn the part that you liked to begin with.
Right. Right. So you lose the spontaneity and you might actually end up with something else that you don't necessarily want.
For sure. And it's really easy for me to just lose spontaneity in general. Like, you know, I'm intense all the time, and something that I have to actually like work on is being spontaneous.
Why do you think you have a problem with being spontaneous?
Because I am a recovering addict. And I think that's a huge part of it. I think, you know, for so long, my life was like, you know, putting out fires that I had started myself. And I got addicted to that, you know, to that type of living and that state of being. And then when I got sober, everything, it felt better to plan it all out and make sure that everything was safe and all the doors were locked before I took my pants off. You know what I mean? And so I sort of go through my life now with this master plan. And if I'm not careful, everything will turn into a checklist, you know, including the people around me. So I have to really actually be aware of that and say, okay, you can't just, you know, mark off all of the spots in your mind and everything's good and everything's done. Sometimes you have to actually put yourself at risk of, you know, making a bad record or saying a stupid thing.
When you are self-editing and you are self-producing, how do you deal with that? Because even if you feel like you're in a place where you're ready to do that on your own and you can deal with the anxiety and the pressure, but I'm sure now and then it still creeps in. How do you get through those feelings?
I have gotten better at that just in the last couple of years because I've resolved to acknowledge it. And instead of, you know, saying I don't feel this way because there's some kind of, I don't know, I feel like I would look weak if I admitted to feeling that pressure. Well, you know, that's how I've been in the past. I've just pretty recently gotten a little bit better at saying, no, this is a lot. It's intense and I'm anxious and I'm worried about it. And sometimes that's all it takes to make it a little bit better.
Yeah, the last time we spoke, and in the documentary, you talk about wrestling with your strong, silent Southern man upbringing on one hand and then your sensitivities and your anxieties on the other. And in the next song that we're going to hear, Middle of the Morning, you literally sing, I was raised to be a strong and silent Southern man.
Right.
I feel like you can hear that struggle in this song. What can you tell us about it before we hear it?
That was really an exercise in me trying to talk about how I felt. I've gotten pretty good at, when I'm writing songs, not self-editing immediately. I'm trying to do that more in the rest of my life, too. I'm trying to say, you know, it may be okay to just go ahead and get it out of you right now. And then you can go back and apologize if you need to, but just get it out so it doesn't come out in some sort of different way.
We're going to hear a performance. We'll come back and we'll talk some more on the World Cafe. This is Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit with a live performance of Middle of the Morning.
Yes, I try to be grateful for my devils and call them by their name. But I'm tired, and by the middle of the morning, I need someone to blame. I know you're scared of me, I can see it in your face. I can feel it in the way you move around this place. see it in your smile. Like an unattended child you can't quite trust. But I'm tired of stepping on your shadow and feeling in the way. Yes, I'm tired. And by the middle of the morning I'm out to say, well, I ain't used to this, seeing everybody's hand. I was raised to be a strong and silent Southern man. No, I ain't used to this. A thousand days alone, in my bed or in my head or in my phone. But I'm tired of living in the moment and sleeping through the rain. I step outside in the middle of the morning and the roses hear the scream.
Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit in a live recording of their song Middle of the Morning from the new album Weather Vanes. But Jason has been doing more than making music. After the break, he'll talk about his role in the upcoming Martin Scorsese movie Killers of the Flower Moon. Like many of Jason's songs, it's based on a true story, the murder of members of the Osage tribe in the 1920s after oil was found on their land in Oklahoma. That's when we come back on World Cafe.
Thank you.
Welcome back to an Encore World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, and my guest is Jason Isbell. He and his band, The 400 Unit, released their latest album, Weather Vanes, in 2023. A documentary called Jason Isbell, Running With Our Eyes Closed, was also released in the spring of that year. The new album and the documentary about you are not the only creative projects coming out this year that you're involved in. You also have a role in the new Martin Scorsese film, Killers of the Flower Moon, premiered at Cannes. It's out in the States here in October. You play a character named Bill Smith. What can you tell us about the role and how you got it?
I got it just by auditioning. When we were in lockdown, we couldn't tour. I didn't know how long it would be before we were able to tour again. And so I told my agent, I would like to try to get a part in a movie or a show or something if it's great and if they're working in a way that's safe. And, because I didn't know when I would be able to go back to making music for people. And so I got this initial audition and I tried really hard. And then at first it was for a cameo, a really small part. And I went and read all the source material and I looked up everything I could find on everybody who had been involved in this story and what had happened to them after, the cameras would stop rolling and the fictional retelling of that. And so I just kept auditioning. I had multiple auditions, and finally I was, on this computer in my house, and it was sitting on the back of my couch, and it was me and Leonardo DiCaprio on the Zoom and Martin Scorsese on the Zoom. And I was just I was terrified. I was terrified the whole time. The whole thing scared the hell out of me, but that was good. That was good for me. It's good to be terrified when you're in your 40s and, have a music career and all that stuff. It was nice.
Yeah. Why was it that film was the thing that you wanted to try out?
Because it's storytelling, and that is at the root of what I do with my regular job. My day job is try to tell stories. And I try to tell, important stories, even if they're just important to me personally. I think Scorsese's obviously really good at that. And I think he might have topped himself with this one because he just found a story that hadn't been told before that was such a huge part of American history that, we didn't learn about the Osage Nation in school, and people in Oklahoma didn't either. I talked to a bunch of people out there who said, no, they didn't teach us this story, when I was in school here, right down the street from where it happened. So, that idea of telling somebody's story who might not have had the opportunity to tell it themselves was very appealing to me.
This is World Cafe. I'm talking to Jason Isbell today. The next song we're going to hear you perform live is called King of Oklahoma. Same place Killers of the Flower Moon is set, and even has a character in it named Molly, like the film mm-hmm. does.
Isn't that funny? Yeah.
Isn't that funny? But the story is quite different. So tell us a little bit about this song.
That name thing was not intentional. I mean, there was somewhere, it's funny, my brain will work in ways that I don't mean for it to work sometimes. I got to spend time with some people out there in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where I was staying, and they didn't know me and I didn't know them. It reminded me so much of where I grew up in Alabama, that there was this sort of overarching inspiration for me, to tell stories that connected people and reminded us of that, how much we have in common with each other, because I think that's kind of hard to come by nowadays.
Here's King of Oklahoma, performed for World Cafe by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit.
Won't even know my name. Put a gallon in the step side with a little
couple years back we had it made. I was emptying my bladder on a 20-foot ladder. Should have climbed down and found myself some shade. The doctor took a quick look and I got out to check what I left with a pocket full of pills. Now my back's still hurting and I'm too weak for working and I can't keep up with all. Nothing.
on World Cafe, a live performance from Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, their new song, King of Oklahoma, probably the most moving song I've ever heard to feature the word bladder.
So. Yeah. Thank you. I've tried to work humor into these songs in some way, and it's so hard for me. Some of my favorite songwriters are hilarious, you know. Iris DeMint, she's so funny, and Todd Snyder's so funny, and John Prine was so funny and so serious at the same time. And I feel like when I try to make a joke in real life, it usually lands, but when I try to make one in a song, you know, nobody realizes it's a joke. And I'm like, I was being funny. Please yeah. laugh at that. I'm a funny guy. I'm not always so sad and morose. So, yeah, this one, I just went with it. You know, emptying his bladder on the 20-foot ladder made me laugh, and it was real, so I kept it.
That voice you're hearing is Jason Isbell. The new album from Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit is called Weather Vanes. I'm Raina Duras. You know, actually, I'm kind of only, like, I'm half joking when I laugh about using the word bladder, because it is a funny word, but I think it also speaks to an ability to be straightforward in lyrics. I mean, you give details that feel true. Like, not everything that happens to people in their everyday lives feels poetic in the moment. Sometimes you're emptying your bladder on a 20-foot ladder. And there are so many details that you could include in a song. How do you know when you've hit the nail on the head, when you've painted that picture and gotten across exactly what you want to get across?
You have to turn off the part of you that wrote the song and sort of, you know, just look at it and say, is this enough information? I think a lot of songwriters think they have to conjure some kind of magic, but really all you have to do is look out the window and pay attention.
In King of Oklahoma, you sing about someone who it sounds like they're dealing with addiction. There are songs on this album that involve abortion, that involve violence. When you sit down to write a song that deals with an issue like that, like, say, gun violence and school shootings and the song Save the World, these are issues that are horrifying. They also somehow sometimes end up being polarizing. What is your goal? How do you approach writing about something like that?
I find that I go more personal the more polarizing the topic might be. You know, I will try to just say, this is how I feel about this. This was my experience with this. And because that's hard to argue with. And it works better because then, you know, you're not proselytizing and you're not suggesting that someone behave in a certain way. You're just shining the light on the details in your own life.
And you do have a daughter, Mercy, who I guess she must be 7.
She is 7, Raina. Yes, she
wow.
is. She'll be 8 at the end of the summer.
Right. I mean, she's school age now. And you sing in the song Save the World about not wanting to send your kid to school because it's mm-hmm. frightening. You've said the song is the hardest to write. How did you get through that, and how did tell us about writing it a little bit?
Well, I wrote the song, and I had the melody and the lyrics and everything, and I took it to Amanda and I played it for her, and she said, that's not right, that's not it took her a couple days to say this because she was trying to figure out the right way to put it, but she said it's I know how you feel, but I didn't get that information from listening to the song, and so you need to write it again, you know. So I just went and rewrote the whole thing. And, of course, at first I kicked and stomped and smoke came out of my ears. And then I went and rewrote the song. And we had already mixed the album and mastered it. It was turned in. And last second, I went in and re-sang this whole song because I wanted to be more specific and more honest and more vulnerable, you know. And before, the version was kind of vague, and I mean, you could probably figure out what I was talking about, but, you know, it wasn't very clear and earnest, and that's what I do, is clear and earnest, and Amanda was right, and I needed to, you know, just grow up, pull my britches up, and say the real thing that was on my mind, you know. But it was hard. It was hard because it's such a heavy song, you know, and the production of it is sort of bombastic and almost like a pop rock song from decades ago. And I wanted that kind of disquiet, you know. I wanted there to be this sort of literal representation of all the beauty that there is around us, and still how afraid we have to be. I mean, how nice is it that we can send our kids to school? That, like, as a civilization, we've figured out these you know, buildings and complexes where people go who want to teach their children how to read and write and do math and history, and we can send their kids that, and they do that, and that happens. Like, that's amazing. I'm so grateful for that, while also I am absolutely terrified of it now. So I wanted there to be this idea that you can hold both of those things in your head at the same time. I think that carries through a lot of the record.
I'm going to play a clip of Save the World. We'll come back and we'll keep talking. This is Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit on World Cafe.
Balloon popping at the grocery store. My heart jumping in my chest. I look around to find the exit door. Which way out of here is the best? Looking for the candy aisle. School starting in a week. A lady says you have a lovely child, and I'm too terrified to speak.
Song Save the World by Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, the track off their new album Weather Vanes. Jason Isbell is my guest today on World Cafe. The characters, or I guess the people in these songs, are often going through something difficult, or they're flawed, or they might be someone that society at large maybe would look down on or judge. I found myself when I was listening to this record, like, worrying about the people that you were singing about, even though I don't know them. What do you think attracts you to stories like these, especially right now?
I don't know. Maybe just where I grew up, you know. I knew a lot of people who on the surface seemed to be keeping everything together. And then all of a sudden, they sort of disconnected from everybody in our community. And I've spent a lot of time as an adult wondering why I got out, you know, and what it is that, you know, all the ways that I was fortunate. And, you know, one of those things was that I was close to my family and they taught me how to play musical instruments. And that happened to be something that was valuable in that culture and later on in just the society at large. But, you know, I do spend a lot of time thinking, it's not necessarily like a survivor's guilt thing. I just spend a lot of time thinking, what did I have that they didn't? Because, you know, our trailer looked just like the neighbor's trailer, and we all went to the same classrooms, and somehow I got just infinitely lucky to be able to do this thing that allowed me to travel around the world and make something creative for the rest of my life.
I mean, you're really good at finding the humanity and finding compassion and empathy for all of these different characters. How easy has it been for you to find the same empathy for yourself as you do for the people that you write about?
Oh, that's a good question. And you know, I can tell by the look on your face, you know that's a good question. That's a good one. That's really good. That one took a long time for me to learn how to empathize with myself in that way. Because, with that gratitude comes some sense of, you know, not imposter syndrome, but some kind of concept that, you know, I got here and didn't really deserve it. But I think maybe at the end of the day, the truth of it is we all deserve to be happy. And it's not a question of, you know, they deserved the bad things that happened to them and I didn't deserve the good things that happened to me. I think in a perfect world, we would all be given the opportunity to do things that make us proud of ourselves.
You're listening to my conversation with Jason Isbell. After the break, he'll talk about one more of the songs from his new record, one with a story he struggled for a long time to get right. That's next on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, and today on an Encore World Cafe, it is Jason Isbell. Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit released their latest album, Weather Vanes, in 2023, and you're going to hear one final live song from the recordings made at the Hall in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's called Cast Iron Skillet. I believe there are two true stories that inspired verses in this song.
Yeah.
Could you tell us a little bit about what these stories are?
Yeah, the first half of the song is about a couple of kids that I grew up with. We were really close. We played on the same baseball team. Our dads coached the baseball team together, and I would go spend the night at their house. They had a batting cage. I remember that seeming like the greatest luxury of all time, you know. But then when we got older, we sort of drifted apart, and they started getting into some trouble. And I think they had some drug issues, and wound up killing a man who had a local restaurant. He had the restaurant on the water where everybody would come up in their boats and get cheeseburgers and stuff. And everybody in town loved this guy. He was just a sweetheart. And I've been trying for so long to write a song with that in there, but it was incredibly hard for me to get to that point because
Why?
I just needed to be able to tell the story without romanticizing a certain perspective, you know. I mean, obviously the victim is the victim, you know, but I think he's not the only victim. I think some of the culture was to blame, you know. And I had to get it to a point to where I felt like it was honoring the story and being respectful of the truth behind that story. And I had to find the details that were appropriate. And also the melody had to feel right. Like sometimes there's sort of this like, you know, if you're writing songs about really heavy, really dark things, and you don't have the melody right, there's a particular kind of bad that can be. And it took me a long time to get it that way. And then the second half of Cast Iron Skillet is about somebody I was close to, a family member in my distant family, not my immediate family, but somebody that I knew well when I was a child who was in an interracial relationship, and a lot of her family disowned her because of that. And, you know, this was in the 90s. This was not in the 1920s, you know. This was recent. These things still happen, you know.
There are phrases in this song. Don't wash the cast iron skillet. This is one of the pieces of, I guess, advice that appear in the song. What is the significance of including these little bites of conventional wisdom? I'm saying conventional wisdom in air quotes because I wasn't sure what to call them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they certainly give you a sense of place. So they serve a good purpose there because they take people to my childhood in Alabama, but they also, I think, help build the narrator is unreliable and not in the traditional sense of the person who wrote this is not the person who's speaking, but in the sense of I don't know if I can trust this person or not, you know? And that is something to me that I think opens itself up into a Southern, you know, Southern culture concept, where it's like, you know, sometimes somebody, some old person in Alabama will be sitting on a porch and say something to you, and you'll think, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then 5 minutes later, you think that was complete gibberish. That actually doesn't make any sense at all, you know. And it's like that. It's like there's an undercurrent to that. But you can wash the skillet. It's not going to hurt the skillet to wash it, especially if you don't use, like, abrasive soap from the 1980s. You're going to be fine with it.
That's good news. My partner is very diligent about not washing the cast iron skillet. So I'll be telling him that after this interview.
Now, this is my fault if there's an altercation.
This is Cast Iron Skillet live for the World Cafe. Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit.
Cast iron skillet. Don't drink and drive, you spill it. Don't ask too many questions or you'll never get to sleep. There's a hole inside you, fill it. Shower up and shave, put flowers on the grave and ask the Lord to save his soul. Was it 27 times, or was it 29? I heard the blade broke off inside the man and he took a while to die. How did you get so low? It seems like just a week ago we were 10 and 12 years old. He was sweet and soft, he shied away from inside fastballs and died doing life without parole. Don't wash the cast iron skillet. If that dog bites my kid, I'll kill it. Don't walk where you can't see your feet. Don't ask questions, just believe. Jamie found a boyfriend with smiling eyes, dark skin, and her daddy never spoke another word to her again. You'd see him at the quick stop, lying to the county cops and laughing like his soul was without sin. How did you get so low? It seems like just a week ago she was sitting on your shoulders watching fireworks in the sky. He treats her like a queen, but you don't know cause you ain't seen. It's hard to go through life without your daddy by your side. Don't wash the cast iron skillet. This town won't get no better, will it? She found love and it was simple as a weather vane. Her own family tried to kill her. Don't wash the cast iron skillet. Don't wash the cast iron skillet. Don't wash the cast iron.
Thank you. That was another new one there.
Recorded live for the World Cafe. That was Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit performing Cast Iron Skillet. That song's on their new album, Weather Vanes. It is out now. Jason Isbell has been my guest today. Jason, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Raina, thank you. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I always do. It's good to talk with you.
Jason Isbell. What a great guy.
Aleutian Peninsula Broadcasting is generously supported by the City of Sandpoint. Sandpoint is a first-class city in the Aleutians East Borough, located on Humboldt Harbor on the northwestern Popoff Island. Anchorage is 575 nautical miles to the northeast. The Sandpoint City Council meets the second Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. in the City Hall Council Chambers. Contact the City of Sandpoint by calling 907-383-2696, emailing sptcity@arctic.net, or visiting their website at sandpointak.com.